I think it is amazing as we reflect how the path is just laid out perfectly for us as individuals and as a people. We begin a little study on the three realms of consciousness that we know. One of them is the... Where's my stuff? Okay. The three crosses of consciousness is called in spiritual astrology. The first cross is that mutable cross of what we call unconscious unity. And I guess most mankind, the best I can tell, is there, because their life is so changing, the changes going on. And the next cross is called the fixed cross. It is a dualistic cross. And of course, it's good to ascend at least to that cross, because it makes you aware that you are human and divine. However, to me, that is the more dangerous cross, because then you pose a threat to yourself. Then you're aware of some things that you haven't been aware of before, and have to begin with your own personal dealing with your ego or your self person. And then the cardinal cross, of course, is that most ascended cross, and I believe those that are touching upon or moving into that cross are in a very beautiful place, because it is a life of just giving. Last week, Suze covered so beautifully the word embrace, because many years ago, when Rokas and Carolyn became part of our lives, one of the first things Rokas said to me was, embrace your cross. Well, I didn't show it outside, but inside, just about every part of me was having one hard fit, because I'm going, embrace your cross. Where are you coming from? So, you know, God had to prepare my ground with that words. Words are powerful, and we need to know that when we speak, it has power to set things in action. Because it was one little word, he threw me into a tailspin spiritually that I needed to go through. I really needed to look at embracing the cross. So after God moved a lot of things away in my thinking, he could deal with me about what embracing the cross meant. So Sue shared at length, and it was so beautiful. She held her arms open, and it means to greet that thing that's facing you, however bad it is, with an enthusiastic and a caring heart. Okay, I think we've made some steps there. We are beginning to say that. We know God is never out to lunch, except when we don't get our way, then we think he's out to lunch. But anyway, I don't really want to know where I'm going here. Okay, taking up your cross daily that Suze shared on, using the word embrace. That means loving it, patting it, drinking it in, taking it completely into your stride, so to speak, and learning to say, okay, what is this about? It's in my path. And although I didn't cause it, it's affecting me. So we just have to know this. That's the three crosses. We have experiences in our, or I do in my week. It seems like God puts markers on some of them for me to think about how it's affecting us. And I'm going to tell a thing, but the first thing I want to say is the precursor for us looking at this, really getting us ready as a group, was John's vision one evening or day at home about stepping beyond. And it was, he got up here and put it on CD, so we have it on CD if you want to hear it. He said it so beautifully. We owned nothing there. There was just, it was, and that was that cardinal consciousness that he had been made aware of and gave us burst of it. Is it the finish? No. But it did break the hymen, because we were virgins till he got done with us. He had something, God, this was God's doings to get us ready to get into some territory that's really kind of new for us. And at the same time, Suzanne in France were reading books about consciousness. I'm going, God, it's just, you've laid the groundwork. May we explore what you want us to explore as a body of people and as individuals. So I want to say something about mutable consciousness. If you want to know what it is, turn on Fox News one morning. It's mutable. And it'll take you somewhere, but it won't be up. Anyway, it's the way everybody thinks, that mutable thing. You can all, misery loves company, so we'll find somebody to be miserable with it, because that's the way humanity is made. They like it. Anyway, let's see what got me into this. I wanted to say a lot of things. The dualistic cross, I want to say this about this, it's a warning. It, since it's a threat to the ego, this dualistic or fixed consciousness, you can easily be deceived there. We see it in all realms of Christendom. Some of Christendom doctrines are just fixed. They never change anything. Mm-hmm. That's a fixation. No matter where we are, we need to hear another sound sometime. We need to crawl around here, and maybe it's wonderful for me that day, and she's in the belly of hell over here and something. You know, we need to be sensitive to what's going on with the other guy. How do they really feel? You know, not just how I feel, but how do they really feel? And anyway, this one has to be right. If you're on that cross and you've got a thing in you that is so determined it's right, I'd really be looking at that. What is that? What is that? I would question myself, and why do I feel that way? And you can smell the ego there. Yeah. If somebody has to be right, is it worth a separation? I've seen people break up and not talk for years, or on and on it goes. It's not worth it. Paul said, why don't you just take the wrong? whether you're wrong or not. A lot of times I've done it. I'm just not. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter. Not that much at that time. Anyway, this is the place where spiritual wickedness and high places manifest in us, not everybody else. It does in them. They don't know it. But it's the greatest place for it to happen. We see it all the time with speakers. In every realm, every doctrine, it's everywhere. That's what I want to talk on today, is that realm. This fixed cross. Ego. And here the deceiver is needed to show a person himself. Yeah. If you ascend, then you can look and see what you were. You look behind you and say, hey, I can honestly say the woman I was all those years ago, I don't know her. And I'm never going to know her again, and that's cool. I don't miss her. Not a smidgen. I don't miss her. Anyway, it's dualistic thinking. And our meeting started off with Karen saying double-mindedness because she spilled her water. And I thought, God, you are so good. And then Speed started sharing his thoughts about the journey, the hills, the valleys, and then it went on and on after that. It was beautiful. So God just sets the stage for what he wants in us. That's all. So let's look at this word double a little bit. It's very interesting. But I'm going to read this again first because I did it at end of meeting last time. And we were tired of listening, all of us. Out of the, what is this? Wisdom Jesus. It's thought-provoking, some of it. They use the Gnostics to quote from in a lot of instances. So it stirs your mind up and makes you know that Jesus was a human being, and he said lots of stuff that didn't get recorded because somebody with a dualistic frame of mind decided it wasn't going to be get let out. Mm-hmm. But now the cat's out of the bag and they can't stop it. This is one of the scripture type things. Time is an indispensable element in the fermenting of that elixir of being, but only insofar as it is consciously wielded. That just blew me away. Mm-hmm. Blew me away. If you bring forth what is within you, what you will have will save you. If you do not have that within you, then what you do not have within you will kill you. Yeah. Consciously. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, folks. Be willing to expand and not stay stuck on that record of denial. Mm-hmm. So the consciousness is being raised. We'll go back to the word double. The first time I ever met Speed, ever saw Speed, he was playing ball. Let me find my book, James. The first chapter of James. I need to go back to Bible school and learn my books. But anyway, the first time I saw Speed, they were having a church outing, and of course Johnny played Bruce and playing baseball with church, that they were on the team. And Speed got up to bat, and somebody said something to him in the field. He said, "Well, a double-minded man, it's unstable in all of his ways." And it just got my attention. And I thought, I wonder who he is. You know, I didn't really know who he was. Okay. James 1:9 says, I think I've got the wrong scripture written down. No, no, here it is, 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Folks, you have to acknowledge God. First, you got to know that that being always is living within you, outside you. He's present, ever present. Amen. He never goes anywhere. It's us that does the traveling. The leaving, the changing. So draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I think that is plain as it can get. 12, Psalms 12:2 speaks of another kind of double. Let's read the first verse, Psalms 12:1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. And there's one more. It's in 1 Titus. This is when Paul was setting up rules for how this and that was to behave. Oh, goody. He had his own set of deals, ideas. And I'm not saying that I'm against them, but some of them are antiquated. I'm trying to find Titus. Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These are the things that are good and profitable unto men. I'm reading something wrong. Not right.
Not Titus.
It's not in Titus.
It is Titus 3:8 that you're looking for.
I've got Titus, and I'm reading the wrong thing. Let me find it, please. Well, I can't. Anyway, it talks about your deacons must be grave and not double-tongued. It's in there. I'm just not going to hunt it right this minute. The scripture says, and my husband is really big at saying you have a choice in everything.
It's 1 Timothy 3:8. Good.
Thank you for correcting me. 1 Timothy 3:8, not Titus. I write these when I'm half awake, usually. You can tell. Anyway, the next thing that came to mind with me is the scripture tells us, I believe this is in Colossians, if you want to read there, you can. You set everything you're affected by, affections, that's personal. You set your affections on a heavenly order. Not affections for earthy things. It can be included. But you set your everything that affects you in the heavens. That's what it says. Set your affections on that highest conscious realm.
Amen.
So if he's telling us to do it, we've got the ability somewhere. And matter of fact, it says set your affections on things up above you. Somebody wants to read that, that'd be good. Okay, we've looked at the dualistic cross, but I want to look at it in a different light, and that's in Exodus.
You know, this morning, Francie and I was talking, and I was with the TV last night, and they come across a channel. Do you know what the name of it was? Doom, let's see, Doom Prophets.
Yeah, we saw that show. I mean, it was on.
I watched that for about 2 or 3 minutes, and I thought, I am not going to watch this.
Not eating that.
I mean, goodness gracious. If there's anything that we need to do now in this day and time, it's a change.
Yeah.
You know, that way of talk.
It's the truth.
I mean, really.
Change how we speak about things. You just don't know how we might color another person's day. We can do that.
Connie, if in the thought of embrace, I'm taking that word, and set our affections on things above is the same as embracing it, because if you encircle it, it's in,
yes,
in your space.
Absolutely.
And as we embrace things that, which are above, it has to permeate back out of us. But you have to do the embracing first. You have to mindfully say, I am going that direction. I am choosing to leave off this old stupid way of talking to myself or to others or thinking or whatever. I am choosing God. And it's amazing how faithful he is to remind you when you fail that. But
yes,
that's part of the embracing, is to just enclose. You know, an embrace is not complete until you close. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's such a beautiful thought to me. Of course, I love the word embrace. There's just some things I just soon not do embracing-wise, though. But anyway, it's a great thought. And we're really getting into that, I think. We talked about the fine twine linen in the tabernacle, and we've had plenty of teaching on that. It's wonderful, but I don't think we've exhausted it. I don't think we've exhausted anything in this on any realm. It's inexhaustible. It just is. There's another plane, another avenue that we can reach for and take hold of. Anyway, in Exodus 26, it's telling about them bringing the materials for the tabernacle. And since we covered the fine twine linen, understanding the fine twine linen is like our nervous system. And that's very particular to every individual. It also speaks of your emotions, the closest thing to you. And I see mankind, period, denying those inner, deeper, more loving emotions, shunning those, running away from those, afraid of those, We haven't learned to embrace that yet totally, our emotions, the godly emotions that we got here with. We had them from the beginning. They're ours. We just have to look at those threads. But anyway, getting beyond that to the next thing, Exodus 26 and 7 says, "And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair." And in a thorough study, knowing the goats were black. So what is this black on top of the white in the coverings or the curtains? They're never confused, the coverings and the curtains, but
Amen.
We do it. But in here, they're not never confused. So remembering that they've made the fine twine linen is a done thing, the cherubims embroidered on it and all of that, the blue, purple, scarlet, white, and now we're introducing black. And if you notice in the scripture, those three colors never come in a different order for a reason. They would violate your eye. Now, if you're not sensitive, you get past that. But I can tell you in a heartbeat when somebody's wearing something that violates your eye. I know they don't know how to dress. And if it's outside, it's eating them up in here. I mean, it's to the bone. It's like Bruce is talking about a lady one time, and he said she's up underneath that word in the dictionary called U-G-L-Y, ugly. I will never forget it. But so it's to the bone sometime. Anyway, thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. Listen to this. 11 curtains shalt thou make. Well, first off, you got to know what all these numbers mean. Mm-hmm. 11 is the number of disorder, incompleteness, imperfection. Mm-hmm. It is one short. So, you're going, okay, God, He had it so perfect and so right with the 10 curtains, and now you're telling me to do something disorderly. We're going to find out the reason. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits. 30 represents the blood of Christ. We've got some notes somewhere. Dedication and spiritual maturity. There, you just see three realms in everything, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. If you're looking at the tabernacle, you see the outer court that's always ruled by however the sun rises out here, and everybody wants to live by it except keep screwing up the time. I wish they'd leave it alone. And they do that for commerce or and whatever to make money. And our country's more in debt than it's ever been. So, they need to get a light. But anyway, that's what 30 means. The blood of Christ, dedication, spiritual maturity. In the outer court, natural sun, people go by that. The inner court is the anointing or the light of the Holy Spirit. That's that right spirit inside of you that actually lives and breathes if you want it to. You have to want the Holy Spirit. It's like a gentle dove. You don't want it, it won't be around. It'll ski down and say, and when you go to begging, I may come back. But you're going to be on your knees confessing Jesus Christ when I come back. And the third light is his divine presence, his body. My God. And we get to experience that so much of time if we just open our eyes. Doesn't have to be, it was like that song, Would You Love Me in the Silence? My experiences with the body that I know is the body because I can feel it sitting, all this stuff is awesome because it's full of presence. Those of a like mind that just want presence bread. That's what all Show Me Bread was called, presence bread. Give me this day my daily bread. What is that? Well, who is in your path? I live in the house with a daily breader here. Do you see what I mean? A husband, a son, a wife, whatever, children. That is in your presence bread. Sometimes it's terrible to chew on. But sometimes it's so wonderful and sweet and loving and awesome and nourishing. It's according to where we are. Okay. He says, let me read some more. And the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves. Keep that in mind. That is the 5 senses, natural senses, as well as spiritual senses, both. Hold on to that inside of you. And the 6 curtains by themselves makes you wonder, don't it? I know Moses was saying, now God, you stepped off the deep end here. Thou shalt double the 6th curtain. 6 is the number of man. I don't care what you say and how you divide it. It is your number. He's got it. When we first moved in this house, I had a dream. And in the dream, I was watching a parade. And I don't know if any of you ever read Preston Eby, but he had some beautiful writings. One of them, he said, those that are spiritually mature, it's like looking at life like a parade going by. And in the dream, there was a parade going by outside. I was in a high story somewhere. And 2 of my nieces appeared. And it's interesting to know what these nieces meant in my life to me spiritually. They were Johnny's sister's children. Their dad was a Jew. Why did God pick those 2 Jew kids? I mean, that's a perfect picture. He was showing me that was the 1st and 2nd born of Israel. Of course, had nothing to do with who they were particularly. In the dream, one of them come to me and embrace me. But the 2nd one, she was grown in the dream, but she couldn't walk. So I carried her. I picked her up and carried her. The Christ Jesus appeared to me, and he was huge. I mean, he towered. He was a big man. And to help me. And when I then I could see the parade, and I wanted to. Oh, I said, I see my husband. I'm going after him in the dream. And Jesus, it was Jesus, went to the telephone, and it was a telephone like we used to have. Speed's got one in his living room. That telephone, he picked up the phone. He said, oh, no, I've got his number. I'm talking about my husband. He's got everybody's number. Everybody's number. Nobody's left out. You can even try to exclude yourself. And he is going to touch you in a place that you said was untouchable. He'll get a hold of a string of that heart and pull on that thing and pull on that thing and straighten that dude out and go plunk. Your magic twanger foggy. Yes, sir. He's a gonna do it. So let's see if we can move on here. Thou shalt make 50 loops. 50 is the number of Pentecost, or the giving of the Holy Spirit. Easy to look that up and compare it. 50 loops on the edge of one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second, which is the sixth one. Thou shalt make 50 tashes of brass. That's divine judgment. Anytime you see brass in anything, it speaks of divine judgment. And put the tashes into the loops and couple the tent together that it may be one. And listen to this. And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle. So it's where you're seated. What is the backside of your tabernacle? I think they call them buttocks. Okay, what's behind you? A cubit on one side, inside out, he's saying, and a cubit on the other side. It's humanity. It's doubled. It's showing you that it can't just be within. It has to be without, because it's a double covering there. Okay. And a cubit on one side, a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth in the length of the curtain of the tent. It shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side, to cover it in your heart and outside your heart. People telling me you don't have to walk in it. I mean, that's beyond stupid, stupid, stupid. Of course it has to be on the outside. Okay. Let's see where we're going here. That's far as I want to go right there now, because, well, I'll go ahead and do it because I'm afraid I won't come back to it. Verse 14, and after you've done this 11 curtains of goat hair, speaks of death to self. You can write that across. That's your personal self, itchiness, or whatever it is or isn't. It is the individual selfishness and how it functions in people. And it's stingy, let me tell you. It don't want to give of itself. God, it is stingy. Hate it in me. Hate it in you. I hate it in anybody. Anyway, thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram's skin dyed red. That is God's measureless, matchless grace that so resides in us if we just loose it once in a while and let it have its way in our life for ourselves and others, of course. Okay. And that's the ram skin dyed red. Has no measure. No measure. Can you know that? Because it's covered everything from the beginning of whatever to the end. Whatever that is. And there is no end. There's no end to the measuring of the ram skin dyed red. Badger skin, already taught on. It's also measureless. It's love in shoe leather. If it's not in shoe leather, you just whistling Dixie. You don't love. So, not measureless anyway. I know we all got some. Okay. Where does this goat hair come from? Show y'all something. When we began to count time, it was in the sign of Taurus, the bull. Right here. In this, Wendy did not draw two, but there were two. This guy is called the shepherd in Taurus. In the original picture, he's sitting on something and holding two kids of goats. Sacrificial animal was provided in Taurus, even back then. Mm-hmm. And if you don't think the bull's the sacrifice, you need to go back to our bull teaching. It's sacrificed on every realm of our life. So there were two clean sacrifices, mm-hmm. so to speak. The bull, the stomping around one, or the quiet one, it don't matter. It's still bull. And this guy's holding two kids of goats. I don't know what a time's doing. All right, let's look at that. Leviticus 16. And the priest, are you looking for one? And get your finger out. Just put it right there. You are the priest of your house. Mm-hmm. You are the priest of your house. You are the priest of your house. Nobody else. You're the priest of your house. Mm-hmm. So the Lord speaks to Moses and says to Moses, and his two sons. After, it was the two sons that offered their strange sacrifice. And God smote them. What is a strange offering? Anything strange that's not covered by the Spirit of the Lord. That's strange. So we're dead sometime before we get out of the chute because it's not from God. And the Lord said to Moses, speak to Aaron and thy brother that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. There is a way into your holy of holies. You don't have to go get a laver or a brazen altar. There's one inside you. And you open the curtains that are standing in front of the holy place. And it's the most awesome place you step into with the light of the Holy Spirit, that candelabra. And the fragrance of the incense continually burning. The sweet incense. How do I know if it's God? It's sweet. It does the work, and it's kind. It reaches down to the very cells of my body anybody you're talking to, and it'll stir and it'll move things that ain't never been moved in them before, because they haven't been in that kind of presence before. And you see this beautiful table of presence bread. Then you step into that holiest place of all. And what do you see? Folks. I know some people that love humanity. I'll admit, sometimes I don't. But I do know people that really love all of humanity. Beautiful thing. Okay, let me move on here. So there's an order for getting into the holiest place of all that I was trying to lay out with some kind of a picture. It's an appreciation of the body of Christ. You know, it's a quality within people that you meet that know that they know who they are too. And you're going, man, to get to fellowship somebody that has an inkling of who they are also. You're safe with that kind of person. Do you hear me? You're safe. Everything that hurts you is safe in that presence. Don't forget it. And it's kept. And it's precious. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering, and the ram for the burnt offering. He shall put on a holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches, two legs. It has to be on the spirit and the word. If you've got the word in you or the spirit in you, you are going to have to find a balance and stand on both of them, clothed with the fine twine linen upon your loins, so who you come in contact with can trust you and love you and be a part of you. That's the way it works. And he shall be girded with a linen girdle, with a linen mitre head thing, and shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And this one I'm trying to get to. He shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of goats for a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bullock for the sin offering, which is for himself. Huh. So here we are, offering up all the bull on the altar. It's funny if you get to thinking about it. Which is for himself, and to make an atonement for himself and his everything in the house. Reconcile the house first, God said. Jesus said, I came to reconcile your world. I'm not here to tear it apart. I'm making you whole like you were when you left me. Amen. I'm filling you up with the fullness of such love. I mean, it is exploding, the love around us and in us and for us. He shall take the two goats, present them before the Lord at the door of the congregation, and then Aaron shall cast lots on the goats, one for the Lord, the other for the scapegoat. So in both, all of our dying to self, the dead goat, there's also an alive goat it speaks of that sixth curtain that you're walking around in every day. It's in your feet. It's death to Connie. Death to Connie. We ought to be doing a crusade by carrying a sign. Death, death, death to that old self and life to the new one. Okay. Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for that scapegoat. You know what a scapegoat gets? He gets the blame. And the world's full of that. I mean, it's blame, 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 blame. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive, rejudged according to the deeds in this body that's alive, I'm telling you, before the Lord, to make atonement with him, and let him go for our scapegoat into the wilderness. That's my proof text. Exodus 35. I'm going to try to finish this. And 25, yes. He's telling them about the materials again. I like this one better in the 35th and 36th chapters of Exodus, because he gives us more detail than he did previously in that one. Now I want you to listen close to this and hear this with the depth of you. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of the blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen. But listen to this next one. And put it in all your little pots and smoke it. And all the women whose heart was stirred from above, was a stirred heart, a heart that kept moving, never grew cold or standoffish or any of those things, whose heart stirred them up in wisdom, spun goat's hair. Was no easy thing. I looked this up, and I thought I'm going to look this up in the Jewish, because they got little tidbits that we didn't get in some of our teachings. The women that were used here, according to that Hebrew word, and I looked it up in the Hebrew, that they used for those women was this. Only the Nesiim, S-E-S-I-I-M, it's Hebrew, don't you know? It's always looks screwy to the English mind. But it's the same as being called as a special apostle. Those women were of the highest order and caliber that could spin goat's hair, because they were dealing with humanity every day and loving humanity. Wherever they were, they could help that person spin that goat's hair and bring them to death to self. You can't make people die to self. It's a spiritual thing. There has to be a discerning. These two kids back here, forgive the kid thing, Dave and Trish, or going to a spiritual counselor that's doing spinning the goat's hair in their life. I mean, that's presence bread that's happening. And God has put some that have a compassion for the person and where he's been or hadn't been or has, may never get to help them with that thing. It's little by little by little. This is grave, folks. So it takes divine feminine. I'm not talking about a strumpet here. This is somebody of a high, high order that cares about all things in humanity. They can do this. So, a few ladies of the highest order and rank were qualified to spin goat's hair. I said, Father, you don't never show us nothing else. This is awesome. Awesome, because that's where this fixed cross thing comes in, this dualistic thing, how to deal with that nature of humanity and divinity at the same time and take that thread of death to self and cause it to grow, cause it to move, cause it to be spun into a garment that is covers that tabernacle. No light can get in or out that place. It's already there. So they have to be live by the light of their tabernacle because of the death to selfishness. Lordy mercy. So that's your divine feminine. Song of Songs has some beautiful passages about it. Goat's hair. My honey, I love you. Song of Solomon, if you want to turn, you don't have to. Hopefully I'm going to read them. Oops, I wrote them down right. Song of Solomon 4:1. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks, knowing that doves mate for life. It's amazing, but they do. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Can you imagine all that hair? Just think about people with beautiful hair. When Rachel was growing up, she had the most hair. And Hunter, y'all remember little Hunter? I mean, Hunter like a cave woman. Had most black hair I've ever seen. I mean, where did she come from? Anyway, and Rachel had beautiful hair. She did some modeling, was going to do hair modeling for a trap on.
Barbizon modeling,
but the hair thing was through that marching across America, America Beautiful. A lady picked her out and had us come to Westtown so she could sport her hair back then. It was real long and pretty, but anyway. So hair, and of course it's a covering. Remember I told you God deals with us hair by hair. That ain't no joke. It is hair by hair. Song of Solomon 6:5. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is like a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Gilead was where the balm that David looked for was stored. There is a balm in Gilead. It's an old Negro spiritual. Sung it from the time I was a little girl. So it has to do, your hair is like a flock of goats. What does that mean? Healing. Healing for you. A sweet essence. And it also means orderly arrangement. Speaking of tresses, somewhere it was in the hair or curls. So perfectly done, you know what I mean. Okay, Song of Solomon 7 and 5. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel. They're speaking of Mount Carmel. And the hair of thine head is like purple now, because it's made a progression. The king is held in all thy galleries. Of course, Carmel means fruitful, plenteous, green, and luscious. Well, I think that's all I really wanted to cover today. It was good, beautiful for me. I hope it was for you. And I don't think we'll ever forget the death to self thing. Of course, we'd been taught this a long time ago. But it's in this new realm of consciousness that we have been allowed to embrace. We're going to encounter many things that get expanded for us and things we can stand on, go to the bank with, so to speak. It's like having a huge bank account. So, love you much and appreciate you listening to me.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.